The Elvis Cast with Grant Bench.
Welcome and thanks for joining us. Today we continue our chat with Elvis Presley in Japan host David Ward. You can find it on YouTube, and David joins us to talk about the channel and all other things Elvis. But I continued our interview by asking David when the channel started and his inspiration behind it.
It started in 2020, and what happened that year was that I was very sick, and I was actually in hospital for about half the year. So I had a lot of time to sit around and, you know, watch YouTube videos, and I just basically wanted to watch light stuff, nothing heavy, you know. And so I got watching quite a few Elvis channels on there, and two or three of them in particular I liked a lot. So I thought that would be something interesting to do, you know, when I get home, because I knew I was going to be recuperating for a few months. So I thought, what can I do? You know, what could I make a channel about? It had to be something different. So I thought, well, I know a lot about Elvis's Japanese records, so I'll do an Elvis Presley in Japan channel. That's where the idea came from.
And are you surprised at the reaction you get? People all around the world watching, even young fella from Australia?
Yeah, I am actually, yeah. It's pretty nerve-wracking, you know, when you put the first one out there. You know, is anyone going to watch? Is anyone going to comment? And I was always a bit worried about trolls, you know, would people make comments, negative comments? But it's generally been really good, good feedback. And yeah, I've managed to communicate with a lot of really good people on there.
Now, tell me about some of the people. If people go to the Elvis Presley in Japan, what are some of the videos that people are going to have a look at?
Well, they tend to be, more often than not, they are basically videos about the releases that came out in Japan. I tend to focus on the records. I do the odd video on Japanese CDs. But I certainly am happy to do videos on other things too. Done one or two book reviews, film reviews, talked about albums from other countries. And I also like doing sound comparison videos, like the one I did last week, comparing the different Blue Hawaii LPs that I have. Those take a little bit of time to set up, because there's a lot of work involved recording the samples and editing the samples.
I know you put a lot of work into each episode. So do you try to do one per week?
Yeah, that's the goal, one a week. Some come together a lot more quickly than others, yeah, but that's the goal, one a week.
Now, what are some of the things we might look forward to hearing on the channel that we haven't got yet? Is there anything you want to let us know that you've got coming out?
Yeah, there's one I'm very excited about. I can't do this one yet because it's kind of tied in with the release of the book, and I recently discovered how to date Japanese LPs, well, Japanese records, actually. As in, you can actually identify when a record was pressed. Not all of them. The very first ones, it's nearly impossible to do it with that. And the records from around about 1973 onwards, it's difficult to do it with them too. But most records that you can get from Japan from 1958 up to about 1973, there is a way of identifying when they were actually manufactured. And I figured it out, but I'm not going to tell anyone yet because it's going to be in the book first. But I would like to do a video about that at some point.
But it's fascinating when you watch these things, because I'm fascinated, obviously, as an Elvis fan who, sadly, Elvis died when I was six. So I didn't get a lot of those until after he died. So when you look at these albums that came out when he was still with us, they've got a special affection in my heart, and I'm sure you as well.
Yeah, I tend to enjoy collecting the releases that were released when he was alive, to be honest, yeah. There's been some amazing records that have been released after he died, especially since Ernst Jorgensen came into the picture, and what's the other fellow? Seaman Rogerson.
Rogerson, yeah.
Some of the compilations that they've made, especially in terms of the artwork, just some fabulous covers that they release now. But I think when Elvis was alive, they were more interested in just like, you know, handsome head and shoulders shots. But there's a lot of albums you can get now with some really cool action shots, you know, live on stage shots.
I was talking to a friend of mine recently about the album covers, and we actually went the other way. Have you got worst album covers?
A least favorite.
Yeah.
the first one that springs to mind is Mahalo from Elvis. it's just not a very good, not a very flattering photograph. And also, I think the Today album is not a great cover either. Just if you look at the eyes on the photograph, it's like they look a bit yellow. It looks a bit demonic. So, yeah, there were one or two covers that just make you wonder, they must have had better pictures than that.
Yeah, although the one that always got me was the Sun Sessions one, the American one where they had the 68 special head drawn onto the body, and I'm like, what is this about? What is this? I mean, at the time you think to yourself, oh, yeah, that's Elvis, is fine, but as you grow older, you're like, surely there must be something better.
Yeah, yeah. There's one even worse than that. It was, I remember... You can actually see it. Are you familiar with a chap on YouTube, MJL3764?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. He did a video once. I think it was, he might have been showing the TV special albums that he's got, and he showed an old VHS video. And I used to have that very same VHS video, and it's kind of like, it looks like Elvis meets Planet of the Apes.
I think I know the one you're talking about. Yeah. Just the fun in collecting. Now, you've obviously got a huge collection, as I mentioned. There's other artists in there. What other artists are your favourites, and are they related to Elvis in any way?
Not related to Elvis in any way, no. I like Traffic, you know, Steve Winwood's band. I'm just looking around me. I actually recently got a box of Kate Bush CDs. Kate Bush from Britain, of course. Mm-hmm. Who else? I actually like Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention a lot. I've got a lot of his records from the 60s and 70s. LPs wise, I've got most of my non-Elvis records right behind me, actually. What have I got in here? Smokey Robinson, Pink Floyd, Beatles, Loving Spoonful, Love, The Doors, that kind of stuff.
So you don't listen to Elvis 24/7 like I do?
No, not 24/7. No, but I did. I went through a period when I was about, I suppose, yeah, when I started collecting, first started collecting. And then when I got to 16, I met a friend of mine who I hadn't seen for a few years, and we decided that we'd kind of gone in completely different directions musically. So we decided that we had to find an artist that we could both like, so we could spend time listening to music together. And we decided to give Bob Dylan a try. And so it kind of, that's where I started. That's when I started buying records by other artists. Largely, like I say, rock music from the 60s and 70s, but jazz and soul as well is also good stuff, and blues as well.
Now, obviously records, but do you collect the Elvis CDs as well, and do you play the CDs more often than a vinyl?
It's kind of 50-50, really. I suppose it depends on what I'm doing. If I just want to sit down and listen to the music, then I'm more likely to put on an LP, because you don't have to... I'm not bothered about moving about. You know, if I'm doing something, if I'm working, then I'll put on a CD, because I can just leave it on without worrying about turning the record over.
Mm. I'm going 50-50 as well, when you've got to get the record out of the box or whatever. But generally, yeah, the CD is much easier. But there is a special sound on the vinyl, I think.
Yeah. I agree. And there's something about the experience of just playing the record as well, and... you know, just enjoying the artwork, going through the ritual of putting the needle down. And I don't even mind, you know, little bits of noise or crackle here and there. It's all part of the fun. I mean, that was all we had, you know, in the 70s.
Absolutely. I mean, I've still play some of my old albums. In fact, one of the first albums I got was Elvis in Demand, that was released in the UK. Terrible picture on the front, but what an album.
Oh, yes, great album that, yeah. A lot of good stuff at the time that you couldn't really get on other albums. And if I recall, that album has a version of It Hurts Me without the Jordanaires.
Yep. Actually, it came out on CD out here, actually, the Elvis in Demand. So, and there was another great Elvis album out here, Words and Music, that had a little piece of Elvis talking into a song. That was huge when it came out here. And that sort of inspired me to look at other countries as to how they released Elvis.
And what did you come up with?
When I started getting German albums, and you know, now talking with you and getting Japanese copies, it just opened up a whole new world. And I need a new room because my other one's full.
Right. Yeah, I've got no space really in this room anymore. So that CD that you mentioned there, Words and Music, did you say like it was like Elvis talking between the songs?
Yeah, they had like little snatches of interview, and he would mention something about, my next song is Jailhouse Rock, and they'd go into Jailhouse Rock, or they'd talk about his mother and play Mama Like the Roses. I was like 15, 16, and Elvis, I think it was 10th anniversary. So it was pretty cool, because it wasn't cool to be an Elvis fan when I was growing up originally. But
I know exactly what you mean, yeah.
I didn't care. I still don't care. He's the coolest thing I've ever seen, so I don't mind playing and talking his music. David, have you had the chance to visit Graceland?
Nope. I've never been to... In fact, I've only been to America twice, New York and Hawaii, nowhere near Memphis, unfortunately. Yeah, I do want to go. Luckily, my wife wants to go as well, so it shouldn't be too difficult to persuade her.
It's been a while since I've been had the chance to be there. Where do you think you'll be when you go?
It's not going to happen in the near future. I've got I haven't been back to the UK in 11 years, so I suppose I've got to get back to Britain first.
You got family in Britain, I take it?
Yeah, they're all over there. Yeah.
Yeah. Do they visit you?
My dad's been once, but my mum, when she was alive, she came three times. But no one else has been, apart from a friend of mine.
Now, were your parents big Elvis fans at all, or is that how you heard him, or not really?
That's how I heard the music, because, like I said, they had a couple of scratchy old records from the 60s. They were actually more Cliff Richard fans than Elvis fans. Even my dad's more of a Cliff Richard fan than an Elvis fan, but they do like him.
I must say I quite like Cliff Richard myself, and I know sometimes you hear people talk about, you know, Elvis versus the Beatles. Do you have an appreciation for both? You mentioned that you have some of their albums.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was a time when I didn't like them because it was like, you know, they were seen as big rivals in the 60s, I suppose, and also statistically as well, they're rivals as well, you know, who had the most number ones, who had the best success in the charts or whatever. I kind of stopped thinking about those things a long time ago.
Yeah, I've got a good friend of mine who's a Beatles fan, and we're always, you know, comparing notes and things, and I'm saying, well, there's room for everybody.
Yeah.
My guy's still number one, but that's okay. Yeah. I still enjoy it.
I don't collect their music, but I do have more than half of what they released.
Well, you mentioned the book that you're working on. Any plans on when it's going to be released?
It's going to be this year. That's about as close as I can get at the moment. Hopefully this summer. So it's the layout is pretty much all been done. The text is pretty much all in there. So once the layout's finalized, it'll just be a case of proofreading, really.
And you'll hear all about that, of course, on the Elvis Presley in Japan channel. Dave, it's been a bit surreal for me actually watching this Skype, because I feel like I'm talking to my TV, because when I watch your YouTube channels, you're right in front of me. So it's been great to talk to you. Thanks so much for your time on the Elvis Cast, and continued success with Elvis Presley in Japan. Head to YouTube and you'll enjoy every one of them.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Elvis Cast. Subscribe or follow the show on your podcast platform of choice. Just search for Elvis Cast. All the links and contact information can be found on my website, ElvisCast.com.
If you'd like more information about this episode's special guest, check out the show notes in the description. Thanks for listening to the Elvis Cast.